Okay, which word is the not nice word that Jesus used in this morning's scripture reading? Hypocrites. And boy, if you ever go up to a religious leader and say, "You hypocrite," the religious leader will go like this. Go ahead, try it. See, that's exactly what happens. Have you ever heard someone shout the term, "Lawbreakers," and then say, "These people are in this country illegally"? I've heard that. Probably heard it. If a law is unjust, then working to overturn, protesting, or even breaking that law is really the only moral choice someone has. Just going to let that stand right there. In this week's Bible reading, Jesus noticed a woman who was unable to stand up for 18 years. She couldn't stand up straight for 18 years. And while knowing the rules of conduct for what was allowed and not allowed on the Sabbath, Jesus healed the woman. He knew the rules. He knew that you weren't supposed to do that. He even knew, there's this whole thing about which one of you would untie the donkey and everything like that. There was even debate about that. There was one school that said, "We don't untie donkeys on the Sabbath. That's against the Sabbath rules." And it's other to say, "Well, that doesn't make much sense. Animals have to drink." So Jesus even got controversial on his response as he put people to shame. But for whatever the reason or whatever debate was going on, what he did was against the detailed rule structure, the laws regarding the Sabbath. He broke the law. There is no question that he broke the law. Jesus was a lawbreaker, to be sure. And shouldn't that be the end of it? No more debates about anything else related to that. Jesus broke the law, and that's it. It was wrong. He broke the law. Put him in jail or whatever. Slap him with a fine. And it's more complicated than that, isn't it? Jesus showed that strict adherence to the law, while ignoring God's two rules, this whole love God and love everyone stuff, makes the law something that harms rather than helps. "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" Some people he made feel like, "Oh, you're right." And others he angered even more when he said that. He's not only a lawbreaker, but he's twisting and he's turning. And he's making us really, really angry. How dare he do that? But Jesus was responding as Jesus responds. He wore that WWID bracelet. What would I do? Any of you ever used to wear a WWJD bracelet? And then from that grew the FROG, Fully Rely on God, bracelets. And that's actually the theme of the picnic today, at least for the kids. And it's why we're wearing green. There's this FROG, which spells... No, it spells FROG, Fully Rely on... No, okay. So there's frogs all over at the picnic and everything. We're wearing green. So we're all a bunch of frogs at church today. Did you know that part? Wear green because you're a bunch of frogs. I'm a frog today. We're all fully relying on God. And as we fully rely on God, being a Christian, following Jesus, following God's call in our lives, being a Christian is not about, and it cannot be about, certain phrases like, "Get off my lawn." Being a Christian is not about, and it cannot be about, "That's my stuff." And being a Christian is not about, and cannot be about, "How dare you say that about me?" Being a Christian is not about, and cannot be about, "You can't have that because you are less than I am." Being a Christian is not about, and cannot be about, "If you have that, then I won't think that what I have is special." Or even, being a Christian is not about and cannot be about, "You can't build that there." Jesus called the leader of the synagogue out on hypocrisy. It was better to do good than harm And by following the law in this case, Jesus would have been doing harm when he could have been doing good. And the synagogue leader was not pleased, but the entire crowd did get it. They rejoiced at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. I love the way the Bible passage ends. You know, the whole thought kind of ends right there. They were rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. We have a call as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as followers of our Creator, God, to do those wonderful things. We have a call to do good. We have a call to love God and love everyone first. We have a call to stay away from selfishness and entitlement in favor of generosity and abundance for all. But we don't need to live as Christians simply not doing what Christianity is not about. We do what Christianity is about, right? I hate the don't do this, don't do that lists. You know, I don't drink, and I don't chew, and I don't go with the girls or the guys that do, you know. The big list of don'ts. Christianity should be a big list of do's. And so here's some do's. We do what following God is all about. The two rules, of course. Love God. Love everyone. And another set of guidelines that helps too. Like, do good. That's pretty concise there, right? Do good. The paradoxical commandments that say that if you help someone to build a house, they might mistreat the house, break it down, and not even be your friend after that. Help them build the house anyway. There's all these, if you do this, these bad things might happen, but do this anyway. So if you do good, people might laugh at you, mock you, might not be thankful. Do good anyway. And then there's another guideline from the Bible. One of the most oft passages or quoted passages of scriptures from Micah, from the Old Testament, Micah 6:8. It says, "Seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God." Very direct. Before that, it said, "What does our God require of us?" Or, "What does the Lord require of you?" Seek justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. So, let's revisit the thinly veiled what Christianity is not and cannot be list, at those statements, and turn them into something concrete that calls us to do something, some concrete call to action. For instance, bring dinner to, give a ride to, or become friends with an undocumented immigrant. Collect some of your best stuff and give it to a charity that will help those who don't have enough. Don't collect, you know, the after stuff. Some of your best stuff. Have a cup of coffee and chat with someone you consider to be an adversary. Republicans have lunch with a Democrat. Democrats have lunch, have coffee with a Republican. Libertarians have lunch with all. Atheists have lunch with Christians. Christians have lunch with atheists. Or think of a business adversary. Have a cup of coffee. Have lunch. They're people, right? Or how about invite a same-sex couple to dinner at your house? For some, that would be like, that would be great. And for others, like, there's no way I want to do that. Too uncomfortable. I don't like that. It's stepping outside of our comfort zones there. But this is a do thing. Or how about make friends with a Muslim? Do you remember in the Old Testament, you know, there's a whole lot of anti-Islam stuff going on right now. And it's not just about don't build the Cordoba House, which is really this community center with a prayer room in it, and it's been dubbed the Ground Zero Mosque. It's not. But, I mean, it's all this anger coming up there. Rightly related to anger associated with 9/11, because people are still angry and hurt and upset and still want justice, at least justice in the form of kind of retribution in that, the way our justice system works, where someone has to go to jail or be punished or be executed, whatever it is, for crimes. But in the Old Testament, we're reminded that God made an unbreakable covenant with Abraham. Abraham, who was the father of Ishmael, who is the founder of Islam. Before Muhammad, there was Ishmael. And so Muslims trace back their heritage to Abraham. And Jews trace back their heritage to Abraham. And Christians trace back their heritage to Abraham. And so these three, inextricably linked, I love that word, but I can't say it all the time, inextricably linked religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, are all part of God's unbreakable covenant from the Old Testament. And how do you break an unbreakable covenant? You don't. It's an unbreakable covenant. So God's love, God's unbreakable covenant, is with all three of these groups. And a lot of other religions have grown from there, maybe not, but God loves all people. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Of course, when I say that's clear, right away you think of exceptions to where it doesn't seem like God loves those people, or these people are getting hurt or whatever. So I maybe should pull back on that, because I hate it when someone says, Scripture is clear about this. Well, different interpretations of Scripture make it not so clear on various things. And there is not one Christian viewpoint on almost any issue, especially as it relates to wedge issues. Make friends with a Muslim. Don't stop there, though. When you see injustice, speak out. Do something about it. Write a letter to the local paper advocating for a cause that helps any who historically have been exploited or degraded or even forgotten. Volunteer at the hospital. Be a voice of reason in a world that is too filled with fear and with rage. What other things can you think of to respond to Jesus' call to do good, whenever or wherever the opportunity exists? What could you do? I know I haven't said them all, and now I'm putting you on the spot. We don't want to actually say something out loud, but what could you do to respond to Jesus' call to do good? That's it. Name something good to do. Share. Help a neighbor. And who is your neighbor?
Everyone.
What else? Do good. Everyone's like, I just can't think of something right now. Help someone stuck in a snowbank along the side of the road. Especially when it's early in the morning and you're in a hurry to get to work. Yeah. Right. What else? I didn't hear what you said.
Vegetables.
Share your vegetables. And the best ones, right? I'm writing veggie share here so I remember that. And you were going to say something.
Babysit
for someone who you know could use a couple hours or a half a day off. What else?
Volunteer.
Yeah. Pete, I saw you raise your hand. Or no, it was Gail, not Pete. Write letters to people who are by themselves. Bring something less lonely into a person who's lonely, right? What else? Yeah.
Make meals for new mothers.
Just a few more. Yeah, Dick.
I would say maybe you should follow Jimmy and Peter's wife, Jimmy Furman, the Baptist Church. Just one week and see all the good things they do for this congregation.
Follow Jimmy and Delos around the church to see all the things that they do. And then do stuff like that. Right? Jimmy's like, oh, stop it. And Delos is like, oh, stop it. But y'all know that you do an awful lot around here. Thanks, Dick. One more. Take time to listen to someone. Let me read these back. Share. Help a neighbor.
Volunteer. Help someone who is stuck in a snowbank early in the morning, especially when you're in a hurry. Share stuff from your vegetable garden. Babysit for a parent. Take time to listen. Write letters to people who are alone. Make meals for new mothers. And don't stop there. You can think of probably hundreds and hundreds of things. And you don't need to spend every waking minute of every day finding things that you can do, because everyone needs to rest. Jesus rested in the Bible, and he got nasty one time in the Bible when he's trying to rest, and someone came in and bothered him, and he said another not nice thing to a woman. That's a whole other sermon that I've given before, but I'll give again sometime. Let's follow God's two rules. Let's do good. Let's seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. Together, let's do wonderful things. Amen.